How's it, guys? Welcome back for this week's episode. We missed you guys a little bit last week. There was a bit of a break on the show, some interesting happenings in the URC quarterfinals. But Ronnie, you are with me as always. How's it going, bud?
Oh, buenos dias. How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, no lacquer, man, back in not so sunny South Africa.
It's not sunny at all. It's very hot here.
I suppose it's sunny, but it's cool. Like, we're hitting 1-2 degree mornings here at the moment, so it's a bit of a struggle.
Your car's warning you that there's ice on the road or something ridiculous.
Exactly. So not so Ayoba, Ronnie. But some of you guys might know I was in Dubai for a little bit of a holiday. And Ronnie, you know, I just have to tell you, there's no coincidence in the fact that Dubai's international side beat Korea and moved up to 57th in the world rankings. I don't know if you saw that. You know, South African influence may be doing some turns there.
Are you honestly going to claim it? You stepped into the country and they did better at rugby?
I absolutely am, because before I stepped into the country, I actually didn't even know that they had a rugby team.
Every country's got a rugby team.
So I was actually there to do some consulting work, and well, now we're 57th in the world.
So have you changed allegiances? Now we are 57th in the world. Well,
exactly.
I am first in the world.
You are first in the world. Friend. Spain. No, man, you don't know what you're talking
about. No, I'm still South African. I'm not like you who flies over to another country and changes his allegiances.
You do that province to province in South Africa. Ronnie works in Durban for 2 weekends in a row, and suddenly he's a Durbanite, you know, and then he spends a weekend in Edenvale, and suddenly he's, you know, a Durbanite.
Well, I just, you know, when I start, when the community gets to know me and I become a valued member of the community, you know, I become one of them. That's just the reality of these things. I'm accepted in many places in South Africa and around the world.
So I don't know if you saw on our socials this weekend, I was actually out back in Hearties, my real home, and where a lot of rugby, you know, legends come from.
You made a rubbish post.
Gotta give credit to Sos.
Sos comes from the other side of the mountain, from Brit's side, not your side that you were pointing at, that dam pointing at.
Linza pointed out Sos's dad's farm, so I was quite correct. Don't you come here claiming your funny things. Which famous rugby player comes from Spain?
From Spain? I'm not from Spain. I'm just temporarily visiting here. If I want to talk about Malalon, you know, Michael Rhodes.
Oh, okay, we claim.
And just down the road in Elspeth, we've got big Dwayne Four from here.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you claim Dwayne, Ronnie. That's unacceptable to me. Ronnie, we have a new Super Brew pool up and running. We've got the international season kicking off this weekend. So guys, come and join us on Super Brew. The pool code is, and genuinely Super Brew dish this up to me, I didn't make it up myself, Def Jobs, DEAFJOBS.
I want to ask you to use that in a sentence, but
I'm not going to be doing that, Ronald. Ronnie, then we go over to the URC, and I don't know if you can see on this video the smile on my face right now when I was preparing today's talking points, and I see there Ronald out into 111th.
Be honest.
11th. It might as well be 111th. It's glorious. It's not the top 10.
No, it's 11th. And I got two calls wrong this weekend. Two calls wrong. Both picked the wrong side, the loser in both URC games. I was very disappointed. I didn't look at the log until this morning. And I was surprised that I didn't actually fall as far as I thought I would have.
Yeah, I fell like 600 places on the log. I'm in 615th. And then you get both games wrong. By the way, there were only two games, Ronnie. So you had a 0 from 2 there. And
you
only drop one place. It really is rigged. I'm sure you're cheating.
Yeah, it's just because all of us are so good. We're so high up on the score. You know, we're right at the top. And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, well, can I tell you what? This week when I post the log on Instagram, your name's not going to be there, my friend. It's going to be a great week. Great week after a public holiday.
Yeah, I saw that I'm six total differential margin points off from being in 10th place. So it's close. I just need to get within range in the final, and you know, maybe I'll be back in the top 10. But anyway, so there was, like you mentioned, there was a good game, two good games this past weekend. So I wasn't too sad about the fact that I got the Bulls Leinster one wrong. Sorry, I did back Leinster, and you know, it serves me right that, you know, the Bulls, you know, actually won that game, proved me wrong, because the reality is they're the best South African side that's ever been. They play incredibly good rugby. And yeah, even with a number of crucial players, they've been missing Kirkley Aronson and Cannon Moody. You know, they still stepped it up and they won that game. And in under challenging circumstances, I don't want to talk about the referee. So I'm not going to talk about the referee, but I'm going to say the Bulls are up against it and, you know, still do come away with a win. Very impressive.
No, but let's actually just take a second to talk about the referee here, because there was some definitely questionable calls. And for both sides, it was a subpar refereeing performance that affected both teams. I'm not saying one or the other should have won. It was a subpar performance across the board. And that's something that has to be changed.
Was it equally subpar for both?
Some of us are not like the others.
That's a valid question. Was it equally subpar for the Bulls or Leinster, or did one side get the rub of the green?
I think the one side probably got the rub of the green. What do you reckon, Ronald?
Yeah, and then that's a problem, right? You don't want one side to be favored over the other. That's definitely a concern. But I think if it's subpar performances and it's fairly subpar for both sides, then you can't complain, because then both teams are still on equal footing. But yeah, look, there were some questionable calls. I don't actually believe that it was too terrible, but you know, us as South Africans, we're used to being up against it, and we still managed to pull off a W, so that's very impressive.
Yeah, so I mean, you and me in this game, Ronnie, both picked Leinster to win by 6, eh? Which
stupidly.
Is we got the same one. You see what happens when I listen to you? I should have gone with the bloody Bulls, but no, I listened to Ronnie, and fact of the matter is you are now a Bulls fan and you didn't even back your boys.
Yeah, look, I don't know what I did for thinking Leinster. We also have to renege on a lot of things that we've actually said about Leinster, a lot of the favorable things, because for 3 years now, they've applied the same modus operandi and they failed at the last hurdle. You know, Leinster comes out racing at the beginning of the URC season. They then insert their B-string side while they focus on the Champions Cup. They lose the Champions Cup. And then those players come back, having not been in the mix for the URC team. Maybe they aren't fully aware of the new calls, or they don't really know. They're not in that rhythm. A lot of disruption taking place. Maybe some of them are tired. And they stumble again when it gets to the business end of the URC. So, yeah, we've been saying week in, week out, Leinster's the team to beat, Leinster's the team to beat, but maybe they're not, they are just the team that will get beat at the end there, right? So whatever recipe they've been utilizing, it doesn't work, clearly. And we've got to acknowledge the fact that we've been wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly like you say, Ronnie, their policy and the way they've been doing things has not been working, because it has not yielded the results. The sending weaker sides late in the competition, wrapping people in cotton wool is clearly not paying dividends. They're not match hardened when it counts. And it was quite annoying for me to see guys trying to blame Jacques Nienaber here for the loss. But it's 3 years, my friends. He's been there for what, 5 months?
Yeah, especially since he had the World Cup. He didn't join them immediately. He joined them at the back end of their season. He hasn't had a preseason with the guys. And, you know, there's... Yeah, it's going to be very challenging. We saw that the South Africans in the early stages of Jock Nienaber and Dr. Rassi, you know, they also stumbled a few times. And when Felix went over to England and they started deploying other sort of defensive tactics, they also stumbled in the beginning. So it's going to take them time. But if they just fix the way that they rotate their players and white knuckle a little bit through what Jock's trying to do there, they'll be strong again, surely. But for now, I'm not backing Leinster anymore.
So there were a couple of interesting chats in my office and with people at court in the week, Ronnie, about the fact that Kirkley Aronson and Cannon Moody were out injured. And particular focus was on Sajal Peterson, their Bulls fans themselves, saying, you know, they're not going to win this game with Sajal on the wing. And out he comes and scores 2 tries. So big statement from him.
Well, firstly, I don't know why you're calling him Sajal when his name is Sergil. But yeah, yellow card and 2 tries. He definitely made up for that yellow card. And I thought one of his tries, the one where he caught that ball from the up and under, was impressive. And it was fantastic to see. And it definitely broke the momentum on the Leinster pot. I thought Sergil really stepped it up, as I mentioned, in the absence of Kirkley and Kanan. So yeah, good to see that the Bulls, you know, let's call it maybe a hybrid A, B string side did very well. And, you know, maybe Jake White was onto something when he sent well, what we deem the C-string side over to the Champions Cup knockouts, because, you know, his team seems to have done very well now at the business end of the URC. So, yeah, two finals in 3 years speaks for itself, you know, just in case anyone's listening here that isn't a South African fan. And that's three finals for South African sides, two for the Bulls and two for the Stormers, unfortunately. But yeah, fantastic to see the Bulls back to being absolutely dominant.
No, it's really, really great to see. And Ronnie, what do you think this game and the fact that it was a Leinster team, it had 15 of the Irish team featured for Leinster at the weekend against the depleted Bulls side. Does that leave a dent on the Irish players ahead of the tour here in a few weeks' time? Is there not much that you can read into this game? You know, what? Where do you land on that?
Yeah, I would definitely be concerned as an Irish fan, because you've had both Munster and Leinster make it through to semi-finals, so they don't have much time before they have to come down to South Africa. And as we've mentioned, it seems like those Leinster guys ran out of steam here at, back in the business end of the URC. So they fell out of it. And, you know, that's a big contingency of Irish rugby players. So are they going to be included? They have to be included if the Irish want to prove anything here in South Africa against us as the world champs. I'm not sure if you heard. But yeah, they,
four times, hey? I think it's four times.
Yeah. So it's four times. I know other team has won it four times. But yeah, like I was just saying, it definitely worries them, because what do? These guys seem tired. They've played a lot of big games. They barnstorming start to the URC, then focus on the Champions Cup, a lot of disruption there. And then to fall, like we said, now the final hurdle, or the second to the penultimate hurdle here in the URC, it's worrying, because they don't have time off now before their tour to South Africa.
But is that correct, Ronnie, to say they're looking tired? Do they not just look unfit? They're not match ready. They're not primed, because they've been coddled up. They haven't been playing all the big games. They've been rested and rested, and they're lacking sharpness. I wouldn't say that they're tired. Maybe they're tired as a result of lack of game time.
Yeah, I think for some of the players, you could probably say tired from perhaps too many big games. But yeah, you're probably right in phrasing it that way. They don't seem to be like they doesn't seem like they're in any sort of rhythm. A lot of disruption. They're coming, going in and out of the team, playing Champions Cup, playing the URC, traveling down to South Africa. You know, they just don't seem to be gelling as a team. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't know what to say, but that's it.
But now, you know, we've got the Irish series coming. There was a big performance, and we're going to talk about the Springbok squad selection to face Wales in a bit. But Cameron Honeycomb had one hell of a game for the Bulls this weekend, like unbelievably quality game. Jasper Visa is out. Pepsi's one that we've been looking at for the Bok 8 jersey, but here's another guy standing up now.
Yeah, I agree. Honeycomb's episode is very exciting. His ball-carrying ability is very impressive. And one of those disallowed tries in this game, it was a little bit unfortunate, because Honeycomb made a, you know, barnstorming off the back of the scrum, 15, 20 meters, which was very impressive to see. But not just him. We've also got Augustus over in the Premiership, having, you know, celebrating the Premiership win for on his side. So we're very blessed as South Africans. We really do produce some incredible loose forwards.
Absolutely, Ronnie. Then, with the Bulls having snatched a victory from Leinster, it was over to Thomond Park, where Munster hosted Glasgow. Munster topped the URC log, as everyone will know, heavily, heavily favoured to win this game. Glasgow pulled off an upset the week before, and Ronnie, they did it again, winning 17 points to 10, bringing Munster to their knees.
The Irish must really hate South Africa, because this has really played out to our favour. Glasgow did us a big solid year now, bringing the final to South Africa.
For the third time in a row.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that, you know. But yeah, Munster falling out, I'd be very worried and very upset and very sad as a Munster fan. And yeah, so Munster were also not able to do it. Reigning champs, Glasgow, well done to you guys. And that's very impressive.
Yeah, very, very impressive. So, Ronnie, you and I both expected Munster to win this one. I was a bit more confident. I said Munster by 16. You went Munster by 7. But Glasgow humbling the both of us and giving us 0 points overall on this one in the supergroup pool. Franco Smith, South African influence there, you know. He's the head coach of Glasgow. He's won a Currie Cup. He's won a Varsity Cup. And now he's one game away from winning a URC trophy. So big ups to Franco. Very, very well done on the win. And another South African, and yeah, we've got to rub this in a little bit, featuring
your favorite
Matsuko side, Carl Steyn with a try. Oiki.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Carl Steyn as well. I like to mention him, and I agree. Yeah, he plays incredible rugby, but too bad he's a Scottish international.
Yeah, and Ronnie, you know, Munster had everything going for them in this game. There were two yellow cards for the Glasgow boys. Richie Gray got one in the 10th minute. He was out. And then also before halftime, Matt Ferguson was sent to the bin with another yellow card. So 20 minutes of that game played with 14 men, and Munster still came up short.
Yeah, so that's a little worrying. Although it's a little bit concerning for me as a South African, right? Because we should now, based on the performances from arguably the two best sides in Ireland, you know, we can't slip up against them now because it would be very embarrassing.
No, very true. The Bulls have to pull out one more big performance, but I feel like they have it in them, Ronnie. I think the biggest thing that cost Munster here was Crowley's kicking, because one or two of those go over, the pressure's different, and you know, you're right on the cusp of winning. And at home, you know, it makes a bit of a difference. But I can't take anything away from Glasgow. Very impressed with them here, Arnold.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you so much for bringing the final to South Africa.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually hear, funny enough, that SAA is offering flight specials on flights in June 2025 to come for the URC final. You can choose the host clever city in South Africa closer to the time.
Yeah. Very good.
So, Ronnie, we now have a URC final on our hands this weekend, and I actually got 4 tickets to the game. So I will be there this weekend with some of the lads that listen to the podcast. That's going to be really lucky. Unfortunately, you're stuck in Spain.
Oh, that is unfortunate. I agree.
So kickoff 6 p.m. Loftus this weekend, guys. There are still tickets available, so go and grab them. Let's try fill that stadium up. The last time a final was there, the Bulls gave the Chiefs a Polokwane to Kalkamas with a 64-15 point win back then. So, Ronnie, first glance, who's going to take this one?
It has to be the Bulls, right? Like, I didn't back them against Leinster. I should have done that, but you're coming. You're playing on the Eiffel. You're playing in Pretoria. It's going to be cold, and your lungs are going to be burning, you know, because of altitude. It matters. So, yeah, I don't see Glasgow pulling this one off. Although, like we mentioned, Franco Smith seems to be on the money, on the ball. He seems to have some tricks up his sleeve. It would be a real shame if he took that away from us fellow South Africans. It would be really nice if he maybe has asked his players to let the Bulls take it, but I don't think that's necessary. The Bulls should comfortably win.
Yeah, I'm also going to be backing the Bulls. I know Vili Leroux is a bit of an injury concern for them at the moment, but I think this Bulls squad is in fine form. They're going to be at home, and I'm banking on a sold-out Loftus. So, Bulla all the way, Ronnie.
For sure.
So, Ronnie, after all that chat about the URC or the IRC, we now look over to the first Springbok team of 2024. The world champions have named their first side. Did you have a look at the team sheet there, Arnold?
No, I'm not a fan of rugby at all. I wasn't interested in the team at all.
Makes sense why you speak so much cuck on this show, hey?
Yeah, no, look, it's a team. I think we got a couple of calls right here. You, me, and a couple of Oaks on the WhatsApp group. Apalela Fassi, the likes of Andre Estes, and Zola Mapimpi. But a couple of surprises. I didn't see Edville from America coming in. Pleasantly surprised there. I think I also got Evan Riss, Patra, I can't remember. I think we backed Pepsi Buthelezi.
Yeah, that's true. We had been predicting Pepsi there at 8. So we'll go through the team sheet shortly, but just some cool stats about the side. It's Vincent Cox's 50th test against Wales this weekend. So he's starting a tight head prop. Peter Steph Tatoy, we'll get onto him in a little bit, but he's captaining the team. First time he captained them was in 2018 against Wales, which is a game the Boks lost 22 points to 20. So he'll be looking to atone for that. And then 4 debutants in the Springbok team, Ronnie. But I think the biggest stat out of this one is the Welsh pack has 118 caps total amongst all 8 forwards. Eben Etzebeth, who starts at 4 for us, has 119 caps.
Yeah, no, that's a stat. It also shows that you're quite up to date on what's happening on social media. I also see that. That's a very impressive stat.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. So, Ronnie, we have an exciting front row, Oxen Chair and Vincent Cock at prop, and a return from injury for Malcolm Marks. So he's starting in the side in case he doesn't last a full game, that he can be replaced with Bongi rather than Bongi going down and Malcolm being forced into 60, 70 minutes of play, you know?
I quite like that way of thinking too. You know, I think more often than not, people say, oh, you know, if he's only going to get a bit of game time, rather bring him on off the bench. But I like Rossi's, you know, way of thinking that, you know, it's not, you don't want to bring him off the bench and then he can't last. So rather play them first. And if he runs out of steam, then you bring on Bongi.
Yeah, for sure, Ronnie. So then we take a look at the locks. It's the starting pair that did duty in the World Cup final, Eben Etzebeth and Franco Mostert. They're together in the engine room. Quite excited for that. Some good power.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Franco Mostert, so it's always fun to see him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, not much to chat about there. It's the prediction that's spot on and great that they're both available. So the loose trio was quite a contentious one with people making a wide array of predictions here. But good to see Quagga Smith filling in for Sierra at 6. Peter Steftetoid retains his jersey at 7. And Ivan Roos gets a start at 8 over the likes of Pepsi Buthelezi and someone like Quagga, who we potentially thought could play 8 too.
Yeah, I'd like to see how this loose trio is going to get shook up when the reserves come onto the field, who's going to go where. But yeah, look, Ivan Roos is an exciting player and he showed a bit of promise for the last couple of years. So he's getting a shot. He's getting a shot to start and hopefully he seizes his opportunity, and that's going to be very exciting. Quagga, obviously we know what we have with him. He's a very trustworthy player. And obviously Peter Steph, you know, like I said, tackles anything.
Yeah, the Malmesbury missile. So he's named at captain. I'm quite excited for that. We know he's not a man of many words. So it'll be interesting to see what his leadership style is in this one. Ronnie, we then take a look at the back line, and we've got Faf, good old Fafster there. He's starting at 9 with a relative surprise at number 10, Jordan Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. That's absolutely a surprise. Look, it's a seasoned, experienced Fafster clerk with an inexperienced 10. So yeah, it's obviously the thinking behind that. But I was genuinely surprised when they put Jordan Hendrickson to start at 10. I thought it might have gone to somebody else. But look, you know, this is an opportunity to try these players. It's like we've mentioned now, it's a very inexperienced Welsh side. So maybe the opportunity for these guys really to see what we've got with them.
You know, Rossi, we know he always says he prefers to select players that have had a bit of a journey, you know, that haven't had it easy. So I don't think that came into play in the 10 jersey, because Jordan Hendricks has certainly not had it easy. He's had to play long and hard at the Lions. Same for Sia Masuku. You know, he's had a long journey. He's 27 as well now, coming from the Cheetahs to the Sharks. This is his first real big season. But I think Rossi's probably looked and said, you know, this is a tough character. We know what his brother's made of in Jaden. Let's put this kid in. Let's see what he can do. And there's guys on social media saying, you know, he's not even the best 10 at the Lions. I wouldn't agree with that. I think when he is on, he's class. And he offers really good goal kicking. So let's see what he does.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that Rossi goes against what the public believes is the best player. I mean, if we just talk about our nines, you know, when Sanele Nohamba was the favoured nine at the Sharks, he still opted for some of our other nines, Grant Williams, for example. So Rossi's obviously got a plan for what he wants at the Springboks, and you can be the second choice player at your franchise, still be a good Springbok player, and that's what Rossi sees. You know, are you good fit for the Springbok side? So Rossi sees something, we have no choice but to trust him, because he definitely knows what he's talking about.
I think if you also add some long-term perspective into this and say, all right, the next opportunity to blood some youngsters is going to be in Bloemfontein against Portugal, way better to let Sia start at 10 than there. It was his home ground at the Cheetahs for so long, and that's a potential opportunity for him, you know?
No, absolutely, couldn't agree.
So, Ronnie, then we have a back three of some experience here in Makazola Mapimpi at 11. Edwill van der Merwe gets a debut out on the right wing, and Apalele Fassi is at fullback. Return for him, last featuring against Argentina.
Yeah, I think Apalele Fassi's fallen out of favour a bit. He hasn't performed so well, but he's got a shot now to prove himself. So, yeah, you know, I expect good things from him. Obviously, the experience of Makazola Mapimpi, hopefully he can calm things down in the back three and just help out with Apalele Fassi in the back there. Edwill van der Merwe, obviously very exciting and very, very, what's the word, great runner of the ball, very agile, very explosive. So he gets a shot now against Wales, which will be good for all of us to see where he fits in the pecking order.
No, for sure, for sure. And I mean, you know, in much similar mold to all the guys that have done duty there under Rossi's tenure. So I'm excited to see him. Ronnie, the center pairing, I mean, you can't complain about this. You could literally put Damien there, Andre there, who is starting at 12, Andre Esterhazen, and then Jesse Creel at 13. That could have just as easily have been Lucanio Am. So looks maybe like we're building a bit of a combination here with Amandi Alende on one hand and Andre and Jesse on another.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a reach, though, considering Jesse played the majority of the games last year with Lucanio out. So wouldn't know about combinations yet, but yeah, you're right. So I think either Andre or Damien could play at 12, or Jesse or Am could play at 13. So, you know, Jesse's proven us wrong. You know, we weren't so favorable of his selection in the past, and he's proven us wrong because he's an absolute animal. So it's nice to have Jesse at 13. I think it's comforting for me, and I'm sure other people will find it comforting too. And then obviously Andre Esterhazen, and we've been paying for him to get an opportunity at inside, and now he finally gets it. You know, he's had a couple of runs there, of course, but, you know, there's an argument to be made that he should be there over Damien Dalende, at least get a bit more game time than Andre has been getting in the past. But yeah, it's a good mix, and yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, and for those wondering why Andre Esterhazen is eligible for selection and the rest of the Northern Hemisphere players are not, it's because his contract has actually formally ended with Harlequins, and he's already on the Sharks books now. So he's eligible that way, even though he has not yet represented the Sharks since his return. Ronnie, we then take a turn to the bomb squad, where the Springbok management's gone for a 5-3 split. Bongi Mbonambi, he's there on the bench. Ntutuko Mnunu, Frans Malherbe, and Salman Murat, along with Ben Jason Dixon from the Stormers getting a debut off the bench there.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by the inclusion of Ben Jason Dixon. Obviously, you know, he's not a bad player at all, but I had somebody else in mind. But look, this is a good opportunity. Again, like we've mentioned for a number of the players already, Ivan Ruiz, Jordan Hendricks, Edvil van Amerva, and Apalele Fassi, you know, they've got their shot now to prove themselves. So Ben Jason Dixon, you know, coming on, like I said, I'd be interested to see what happens when the loose trio gets subbed out. Does Ben Jason going to lock? Does Frank Mostert move to flank? Does Ben Jason go into the back three? You know, there's options. Obviously, Ntutuko, we know what we have. He's a big ball carrier. He's a strong player. And with the experience of Frans Malherbe, very good.
Yeah, I think it's a good balance amongst the forwards there for sure. Ben Jason Dixon, maybe with Rassie, you never know. We could see him at fullback in the game at some point. So keep them guessing, old Rassie. Then three backs on the bench, Ronnie, and some experience in Grant Williams and Damien Dialende. And then the youngster, Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu. He is getting his chance in the Springbok colors. What do you make of that?
I'm going to reserve judgment on the inclusion of Sasha. You know, he's obviously been a very exciting player, but I don't know if he's yet ready for Springbok call-up. So I'm going to reserve judgment there. Grant Williams, absolutely. Big fan of Grant Williams. He's, you know, I enjoy him playing. And for me, he's like a Quibus Reinach, right? So hopefully he doesn't get as little game time as Quibus has had over the years. But yeah, Grant, honestly, is a very exciting night. So him coming on will be good and exciting. He's going to change the pace of play. Obviously, Rassi's put an experienced Damien Dalende on the bench. You know, whatever happens, Damien could come on. You know, maybe move Damien to wing. Maybe, you know, we'll see Jesse Creel moving into 15. Who knows? There's some options here. 5-3 split, you know, Rossi can do anything. Grant Williams at bloody 15, all we know.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. We're going to have to see what he does when he uses this bench. He's creative as ever. But yeah, I'm quite excited for this game. I think it's going to be a tough one away at Twickenham, but I think the boys are going to bring it home. The Welsh team has been named. Liam Williams, Alex Wainwright, probably your two big standouts in that team, as well as their captain at hooker. But other than that, it's a relatively inexperienced Welsh side as well.
Yeah, look, I don't really know where to place this Welsh side. It's obviously, it's a very inexperienced side, like we've already mentioned. You know, I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to say it's going to be a blowout in favor of the Springboks, but maybe. It is away from home. It is at Twickenham, though. The travel factor, we take that into account. The Welsh just need to hop on a little train down from the west of the UK over into London. So yeah, look, I think we can agree that we expect to win this as Springboks, but there's obviously a bit of a question mark with respect to some of the inexperienced players they've been in. But yeah, my prediction should be a Springbok win between 10 and 14 points.
Yeah, that would definitely be lucky to see, Ronnie. So I've mentioned earlier in the show, I managed to secure tickets to the Springboks versus All Blacks game in Cape Town. I know many of you guys wrote into me today saying how disappointed you were that you didn't make it through the ballot system. We also didn't make it through. Fortunately, we got in with the F&B pre-sale. But Ronnie, you also, you didn't come right in the ballot.
No, obviously not. And look, I am in Spain, of course, but I know you tried your luck with my account too. I got that email that basically said I was not fortunate enough, which sucks because now I've been applying for jobs and acceptance into universities and whatnot. And it was just another, unfortunately, you didn't make it email. So that wasn't nice to see. When I realized it was for the rugby, I was like, okay, it's not too bad. But you got some tickets, fortunately, on your many accounts that you registered.
Yeah, so now I got my tickets through the F&B pre-sale. I didn't get through the ballot system. Fortunately, Belinda did manage to get her tickets that way. Ridiculous prices though, Ronnie. And Cape Town, really, the ballot system is ridiculous. But then to pay R3,075 to sit behind the polls is insane, firstly. Secondly, they've now added price surge tickets. So people are like bidding on these tickets right up until the game to drive the prices up of these bloody tickets.
No, that's a money-making scheme there. And this is unfortunate because the average Joe that watches rugby, I'm sure you can't afford R3,700. What did you say, R3,075 to sit behind the posts? I mean, that's just unacceptable. You might as well go to the pub. It's a lot cheaper. And what they're doing now is they're making rugby for the elite, which is, you know, we don't want that. That was something that happened 100 years ago when rugby union was considered for the elite, but unacceptable. Cape Town, love your stadium, fantastic atmosphere, can't be charging those prices.
No, it's unacceptable, especially when you consider that the majority of our population can't watch the games because it's not on SABC. You're making now the national sports team so inaccessible. It's really not a good look. Ronnie, then just briefly, Fabien Galthié has named his squad for the French South America tour. They're going to be playing Argentina and Uruguay. But he's named 19 uncapped players, and it's a theme we discussed a little bit with Leinster about wrapping people in cotton wool. Galtier has done it as well, saying, you know, he won't send his stars on these away trips. Ridiculous. Yeah, they're rugby players. Send them to get them tough, to get them used to different conditions. I mean, honestly, France, this is why you don't have a World Cup title. Every time you go to another country, you get to the final, you don't win it.
Yeah, look, it is disappointing, but we know that you know, the French like to prioritize certain games and then they completely disregard and disrespect other games. But, you know, we're also to blame. We've done that before at Springboks too. Different strategies for different folks. Yeah, look, I think it's ridiculous. 19 uncapped players, you know, you're going to be blooding a lot of guys there. But, yeah, I don't know. Is this the right thing to be doing? I don't know.
And France's squad is already generally quite young, which makes this even more ridiculous for me. But the Irish squad has also been named, Ronnie, and it looks like Jamison Gibson-Park will not be joining us in South Africa after playing the Bulls this weekend. He picked up an injury. It's a pity that apparently the world's best scrum half won't get to take on the world's four best scrum halves, but it is what it is. Hope you get well soon, Jamison. And Jack Conan also ruling himself out of the tour. He's having a baby, so he's going to be staying behind. And Peter O'Mahony is the captain.
Yeah, that's obviously a very exciting game. We've got a lot riding on that as Springbok fans. You know, it's a game of honor, right? Or it's a series of honor. Unfortunately, it is only two games for the series. But yeah, we've got a lot riding on. There's a bit of tension in the air over the last couple of years. And there's obviously an asterisk next to the Springboks win that we weren't able to do so by beating the Irish. But I think we're going to shut that door once and for all in this coming series.
Yeah, I think we have no choice but to do that. Hey, Ronnie. And then this week's May Fokchaw moment of the week is a little bit different because it wasn't just one moment. This was someone that went from, he's kind of on my radar to, holy shit, this guy should be a Springbok. And Cam Hanekom, your whole performance against Leinster, well bloody done. That's our May Fokchaw moment of the week. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchaw, dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.